Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is good to be back in the studio this morning. We're going to be talking about Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. We've been there for several weeks now, and I believe this is so important. I'm preaching through this on Wednesday night at the church. We're replaying the whole series on our other radio broadcast, our weekday broadcast, the Old Paths broadcast, and we're dealing with it here in on Blessings of Liberty. So things are happening in our nation. As I see these scriptures coming together, just the Word of God just amazes me. And so we're going to be looking at this today. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Before we get into that, we want to take an opportunity to invite you to come be with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile above the 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, but we're just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you, if you don't have a church home, to come and visit with us. And then we want to welcome all of our visitors, and I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here today in the studio, and I appreciate him. We've already been working on other radio broadcast material this morning, so we've had a busy day. And how are you today, Noah?
I'm good.
Good.
Yes, it's good to be here. We want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
Yes, we do appreciate our listeners. We thank you for listening in. We have hear from, especially when I go to churches, you know, just anywhere we go, we meet people that have heard us on the radio broadcast, and we just desire your prayers. I desire your prayers that God would give wisdom and discernment. And as I said, we have so much that is going on in our nation just in the past few days. The shooting out in Colorado, the instance with the Penn State being punished by the NCAA, all of that has implications or ties in with what we're going to be looking at today, and also with 9/11 2001. And so we'll try to get into all these things today and give a few examples of what we're talking about. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 10, "The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." Now, last week, and I don't have time to go through all of these things again, but we looked at the action, the bricks are falling down. We talked about specifically the destruction of the Twin Towers. That had never happened in the history of high-rise buildings, that a fire causes a building to fall into its own footprint within less than 10 seconds. Two 1,300 story buildings fall to a height of around 100 feet, literally turned to dust. The fire raged. It's the longest standing burning fire of a building or a structure in American history. They didn't put the fires out until up into the month of December. So the bricks have fallen down. We call that the action. That is what took place. And then today we're going to talk about the attitude of the nation. Now, the beginning chapters of the book of Isaiah are all about warning. God is warning his people to return unto him, and if they do not return, judgment is inevitable. They will be divinely judged by God. Now, God is merciful, and he warns before he wounds. And this is a warning that God has sent to the children of Israel. Isaiah chapter 9 describes the first blow, a mini invasion by the king of Assyria. Now, we're talking about the biblical context of Isaiah chapter number 9. Verse number 10 describes a breach in the wall, an attack by the enemy. The bricks are falling down. The sycamores are cut down. There was a invasion by the king of Assyria. Haley's Bible Handbook calls this the Galilean captivity. And you wouldn't even know about it. I mean, this is not something you're going to learn about in Sunday school. You could study the Bible all your life and never really come across the Galilean captivity. It was such a small event compared to other events, but looking back on it now, studying thousands of years later, it was a significant event. But they didn't pay attention to it. They didn't listen to the warning judgment of God. And their attitude after this attack by the Assyrians, they said, "We will build with hewn stones. We will change them into cedars." Why? We're not going to change our ways. We'll just build back. And in fact, we'll build back better than we were before. We'll build back stronger than we were before. That is their attitude after this attack by the Assyrian army. Now, what causes us to take this passage of Scripture and apply it to America and 9/11/2001? It's not a matter of some pastor or some preacher or Bible teacher that come along and read this and said, that sounds like what happened on 9/11. The reason this is being applied to America is the events of 9/11 and after 9/11 that have caused us to look at this obscure passage in the Word of God in a new light. I have mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. September the 12th, 2001, Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, he gives a joint resolution concerning the attacks. This is what the House and the Senate come together, and believe it or not, they agreed upon something. And this is what they agreed upon. Tom Daschle comes out, and that's what a joint resolution is. And so, the day after 9/11/2001, he says this in part of his speech. He says, "I know that there's only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation, but there's a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to us at times like this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have failed, but we will replace them with cedars." And so Mr. Daschle comes out and he applies. Now, he does not know, I don't believe at all, that Mr. Daschle knew the implication or the history or the teaching or the background of Isaiah chapter number 9. I do not believe he knew at that time his part in the matter. I believe that he thought he was giving a scripture of comfort concerning the nation, but Isaiah chapter number 9 is not a scripture giving comfort. It is in its context scripture concerning the judgment of God upon an unrepentant nation. Now, I remember 9/11. I was pastoring the Faith Baptist Church in Burley, Idaho, as a missionary pastor. That's where we were September 11th, 2001. But I remember the mood of the nation. I remember the emotions of people after 9/11. And I believe that 9/11 could have been the start of a national revival. I remember how it was. I remember people's hearts were tender. People were willing to talk about the Lord, to talk about what had happened. Many sought out prayer. They came to church. Maybe they hadn't been to church in years, or maybe hadn't ever been to church before. But people had it exposed a raw nerve in the hearts and the minds of the people of America, and our national routine was disturbed. You know, there was flights canceled all across the United States of America. People were stranded in strange places. Sporting events were canceled. I remember specifically golf and baseball and how that they were in the middle of a tournament or starting weeks of games and stuff, and they just canceled the whole thing. Now, you get to the place in America where you're canceling sporting events, and this is major. And 9/11 is the most major thing that has happened in our nation in it, probably the whole history of our country. Businesses were closed, and people were just ready to listen. And for a time, you know, there was this tenderness and this appeal to the Lord and prayer and the things of God, but it did not last very long at all. We had people come to our church in Idaho that I was pastoring, and they came just, you know, maybe that week, maybe the following week, and, you know, they were there and, you know, tender towards the things of God, but I'm telling you, that attitude did not last very long. Remorse was replaced with revenge, and that disruption was replaced with determination. Now, I'm going to read a few verses here in Isaiah chapter 9 and sort of give a little background and lead up to what we're going to look at today. And what changed that attitude of remorse and a beginning of repentance toward how we had sinned against the Lord and the national, our heartbeat? What changed all that? Well, the attack is in verse 10. The bricks have fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Let's look on down to verse 13. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them. Now, I said last week that I believe that the events of 9/11, you can believe the official story, you can believe the conspiracy theory, but I believe it was a warning blow from Almighty God. God allowed the events of 9/11 try to wake us up and get our national attention, but just like the people of Israel in the book of Isaiah, the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. And here's the key in verse 16. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Who changed the national attitude? The leaders of this people cause them to err. And the national battle cry after a 9/11 from our leaders, I'm going to point this out today, became, we will rebuild. I've already mentioned Tom Daschle in his statement when he used Isaiah chapter 9 in verse number 10. This is the day after September 11th, on the 12th. When he got down to the end of his statement and he read Isaiah chapter 9 in verse number 10, but we will replace them with cedars, he said of his own accord, not in the official transcript that he gave to the, I guess, the Speaker of the House or whoever they submit their minutes to, their notes to, he just said after that, he said, that is what we will do. We will rebuild and we will recover. And so that's the official attitude of the leaders the day after 9/11. And you can find whole lists of different leaders saying basically the same thing. I've referred to the book The Harbinger by Jonathan Cahn. It's worth getting and reading. It's very interesting, and it's incorporating this Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10 into a story. But you could find all kinds of examples on 9/11. Mayor Giuliani, I have such a hard time with his name, the mayor of New York, Rudolph Giuliani. He said, we will rebuild. September 14th, 2001, Senator Charles Schumer, senior senator at that time, he said concerning the attacks in New York City, we will rebuild. Governor Pataki at that time, he said, we will rebuild and we will move forward. Senator Hillary Clinton, the junior senator at that time, She said, "We will rebuild." The mayor gave a speech January the 2nd, 2002, just a few months after 9/11. The name of that speech was Rebuild, Renew, and Remain the Capital of the Free World. Well, guess what he said during that speech? He said, "We will rebuild, renew, and remain the capital of the free world." You see the attitude of the leadership of our nation. This was the attitude that came out after September 11th. And, of course, our leaders encouraged the people to do the same thing, to have that defiant attitude about what had happened on 9/11. George W. Bush, September the 20th, 2001, he gave a speech to a joint session in Congress, and he said in that speech, "We will rebuild New York City." Remember, he wanted to get Wall Street opened back up that same week. The 9/11 happened on a Tuesday. He was really pushing to have the Wall Street, the stock market, open back up by that Thursday or Friday. Well, it ended up opened up the following Monday, and it was President Bush that said, "What can we do to help our country? Let's go shopping. You know, go out and spend. Don't let these terrorists, don't let these attacks disrupt our way of life. Go out, spend some money, reinvigorate the economy, and go out and go shopping." You know, instead, I was talking to a friend this morning. I said instead of we repent, our attitude is we retail. You know, when something bad happens, we don't repent, we go shopping. That's what leaders encourage people to do. In fact, the shootings this past weekend that took place in Colorado, I believe it was the chief of police, or it may have been the governor, I can't remember, but I remember reading an article, and they said, don't let this frighten you. And the advice was to go out and go to a movie. You know, just get right back into the way of life. Our leaders don't want us to stop and reflect. This "We Will Rebuild" has become the national motto of America whenever tragedy strikes in our country. John Kerry, on September the 12th, 2001, on the floor of the United States Senate, he said, "I believe one of the first things we should commit to with federal help that underscores our nation's purpose is to rebuild the towers of the World Trade Center and show the world that we are not afraid. We are defiant." This is the attitude, and it has infiltrated our whole national psyche. Donald Trump said after that, "We should have the World Trade Center bigger and better." Now, this is interesting. January 2009, Mr. Obama gives his State of the Union speech in January 2009. Here's how he began his speech. He said, and I remember watching this and seeing this on TV. He said, "Tonight, I want every American to know this. We will rebuild, and the United States of America will emerge stronger than before." Now, this is what he said January 2009. Now, let me tell you something that happened just a few weeks ago. June the 14th, 2012, just a few weeks ago, Mr. Obama was in New York City for fundraisers, and I remember that being in the news. People were upset because it was going to upset the traffic flow in New York City. But anyway, his official reason for being in New York City was to visit and look at the progress concerning the rebuilding of the World Trade Center, which is now was going to be the Freedom Tower. Now it's going to be the One World Trade Center, the One World Tower, something like that. But anyway, that was his official presidential business, to go to the World Trade Center and to see the progress concerning the rebuilding there. While he was there, you can Google this, you can see a picture of this. While he was there, he took a red Sharpie marker and he wrote upon a steel girder at the World Trade Center. He said, "We remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger." Now, when he gave that speech in 2009 and he said, "I want every American to know this, we will rebuild, and the United States of America will emerge stronger than before," he was just talking about the whole state of things. You know, this is his first State of the Union address. The nation had went through the economic crash of 2008, and he's speaking not specifically at that time about 9/11, but just the State of the Union generally in 2009. But what is interesting is that in 2012, just a few weeks ago, he goes to New York City, and in his handwriting upon the World Trade Center, he connects the two statements there. And so years after 9/11, that same attitude is being expressed by the leaders of our nation. We remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger. And you know, this is I'm telling you, if you see this, you're going to start seeing this everywhere you look. I'll just go ahead, and if I can find it in my notes here, I'll give you just a quick example. And there are many examples of this that we could pick out. But just a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, there was the All-Star Game. And during the All-Star Game, at the very beginning of it, they had a dedication to those during the 2011 that had suffered and died during the tornadoes of 2011. And Joe Buck said this during that part of the pregame All-Star Game. He said, "Tonight we recognize their strength." Now he's talking about the tornado victims from the Midwest and Gulf Coast from 2011. "Tonight we recognize their strength and lend our support as we stand with them. Please join Major League Baseball and Habitat for Humanity in honoring the resilient people of the Midwest and Gulf Coast. Together, we rebuild and reaffirm for the world the indomitable spirit that defines the United States of America." This, if you don't get anything else out of this, get this. This has become our national motto. No matter what the tragedy, the warning is, we come back as a nation and say, we'll just rebuild. We'll just rebuild stronger, better. We'll show the world we're defiant. Last Friday, July 20th, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, he talked about the tragic shooting in Colorado. This is what he said. "We will come back stronger than ever. Obviously, it's going to be a very hard process, but you see that attitude. We'll come back stronger than ever. We won't let this get us down. We'll go shopping. We'll go to the movies. We'll do this. We'll do that." Yesterday, I was listening to the news. Penn State, in light of the punishment by the NCAA, they're going to lose all their earnings from the years of Joe Paterno. They tore the statue of Mr. Paterno down and all of these things. You know what they've said? "We will work together to rebuild, to move forward together." That's what the alumni said. A student wrote an article, MBA student at Penn State University, and said, "Together we will light the way forward. Together we will rebuild. Together we will right the wrongs." The Board of Trustees said, "We will rebuild." And on and on and on we could go today. And so, let me say, it's not sinful to talk about rebuilding after a tragedy. That's normal. That's what we do. Your house burns down, by the grace of God, and with some help, you'll build it back. It's not sinful to say, "I'm going to rebuild." What are you going to do? "I'm going to rebuild my house." But what I'm saying is, what is missing in the United States of America since 9/11 is any sign of repentance. There is no sign of humility, humbling ourselves before the Lord, beseeching the face of God, wondering and asking ourselves, is there a spiritual problem in America? Is this by the hand of God that all these things are happening? Do you know what? Since 9/11, we've not got better morally as a nation. We have gotten far worse than we were before. We've gone a long ways from where we were 9/11, 2001. And we could give many, many examples of the moral downfall of our nation. I read in the newspaper this morning about the homosexual marriage. Right now, this week, has been 1 year since New York made it legal for homosexuals to be married in the state. Mr. Obama proclaimed June as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. That happened in June. Well, we ended up June with strange wind storms all across the nation. Never heard of it before. A land hurricane is what they called it, from Indiana to Washington, D.C. Wiped out power for millions of people during one of the greatest heat waves. There is a drought right now in America that could lead to a famine. It's going to cause everything that we buy to increase in price, and on and on and on we could go. There's many examples of our attitude since 9/11. Oh, we'll just rebuild. We'll just come back stronger. Now, at other times in our nation's history, and this is the comparison and the contrast that I want to leave with you today. At other times in our nation's history, especially during times of tragedy or emergency, our attitude as a nation, our leaders' attitudes have been far, far different. I want to give you one example. This is December 11th, 1776. There was a fast day proclaimed by the Continental Congress concerning the that they saying the war was going to drag out. It wasn't going to be something that's going to be over real quick. And so Congress called for a day of fasting, and they said during that proclamation, I'm just going to read a little bit of it, resolved as soon as possible to appoint a day of solemn fasting and humiliation to implore of Almighty God the forgiveness of the many sins prevailing among all ranks. You see what a difference? I was watching the coverage of the prayer vigil the other night concerning the shooting out in Colorado. And these representatives come out. They were called upon to pray. I doubt seriously much was said that got farther than the speakers would carry it, because of the attitude. There was no humiliation, no humbleness whatsoever. Very few people crying and tore up about what was happening. But one of the representatives came out and said, "Hey, Aurora," like she was at a football game or something, like she expected them to shout back at her. That's exactly how she came out. And it was a very awkward pause. Nobody said anything. But I thought to myself, what a spiritually dull individual to come out during this prayer vigil and time of mourning, what it's supposed to be, and shout out to the people like they're at a, "Hey, Aurora, glad to see you," something like that. That's the attitude of our nation. No humility, no repentance, no remorse whatsoever. The Bible said there in verse 16, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Do you know, since 1789, there have been 137 national calls to prayer, humiliation, fasting, and thanksgiving by the President of the United States. Well, we could go on. In spite of all of our problems, we've not heard too much along these lines of prayer, humiliation, fasting in the past few years. The Bible said in Isaiah 26:5, "For he bringeth down them that dwell on high," the lofty city. That's pride. That's the attitude. "He layeth it low," "even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust of New York City." Well, our time's gone. Noah, give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.